Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the Heblic folk who live in the great castle above the ancient ocean. Good morning to the nuns of France and Italy, waking up this morning, washing themselves in the sacred pool. Good morning to you Wall Street investors making billions off of Bitcoin. Good morning. Where are you headed, brother? Good morning. How was your evening, sister? Good morning. It is Friday, December the 6th, 2024. It's almost 4:30 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from those ancient burial grounds, not far from those forgotten ghosts and heroes, not far from the ravages of history, not far from that forever place. There's something awful in the sea. There's something dangerous lurking below the waves out there in the Salish Sea. Used to be called the Strait of Juan de Fuca. Now it's, I think we call it the Salish Sea. And there's something awful down there. Something dangerous lurking below the waves. Large and sleek and sending out vibrations of pure Tong energy and love powders. Something ugly and black and terrible lives down there, out of sight, hundreds or even thousands of feet below the surface of the ocean. It keeps track of our sins and our fears. It hears our wailing and lament. Tentacles of diamond and despair wrap themselves around our throats, and we gloat as the ship disappears and nothing is left but the eerie silence of the sea. It stirs up the unconscious. It's a habit-forming concern. You drift into that foul place where the human race detaches from predatory schemes and leans into a destiny left for kings. Your throne sits high in a rocky peak, surrounded by waves and salty air. For it is the lark garden that capsizes and relieves the captain of his oars. Along with other driftwood, nothing is available for salvage, only sea dogs ripping at rotting flesh. I have fever dreams involving giant creatures consumed by rage and revenge, crawling up from the sludge. Perhaps ancient sharks, the size of houses, and squid as big as a ship. They've been down there planning, settling scores, preparing the way for a new man to arise. Lives are lost now, looking for that sullen passenger, and our ghost minds imbued with ghastly harbingers and disdain for God's work. And even if these beasts are not there, can we help but hope that somewhere there is an evil scientist making them, constructing them from bits of whale shark and great white shark? It's a madness, but imagine a whale shark driven mad by hunger, its mouth surgically enhanced with a metal jaw and titanium teeth, its internal organs rewired to digest chunks of meat. It would be fed a steady diet of human flesh and Bruce Lee movies on HD. Maybe UHD or 3DHD, who knows? I don't know what the kids are up to now. Then, when ready, this monster is released, this Frankenstein hybrid whale murder shark. Who knows how long it will live? Who knows it will live more than a week? But in that week, people will be scared shitless. And eventually there is peace again. And the last hopeful nugget sinks deeper into the black. There are ancient diseases way down there at the bottom of the fucking ocean. Ancient viruses and bacteria, ask your mom. And single-celled organisms, ancient mold and fungus, ancient everything way down at the bottom of the sea. These creatures know. Not time, they know not love, they know not care. Concern is alien to them. There is no mind or self. There is only the need to live, to eat, to devour until all is gone. Maybe some crazy crab fisherman gets a cut on his hand. Maybe he gets infected and doesn't understand. Maybe after several days he sees the doctor, and the doctor shakes his head, says, "Son, you're dead." The doctor says, and the fisherman just walks away, tossing his gravy sandwich into the stream that leads to sea. The amoeba. The prehistoric cancers, the monstrous ugly things, come from the bottom. They emerge, blocking out the sun and our logic, our reason. Papa Blump declares a new and even huger national emergency. Ching Chong General slipped on a peel, and now the eel is having sex with pigs, says Blump. Cheering crowds wailing, cheering, screaming. We'll win in the end. Our warp speed love science cures all, says Papa Blump. Chang Chong Ching Labs leaked Blump's arse as the Mega Men swarm DC and the trailer park romance turns to pills and ills and GOP pedo dungeons at Langley. The ocean is furious about this. It is. The ocean is pissed off, and we can only hope there's enough rope to hang them all. Think of it as a tolerance zone. Some functor g of x times sine of x, where x is time. Each time they break it, each time they put it back together again, every time it's weaker than before. What do you think Trump is for, buddy? So from the deep, they come, watching Jacqueline Bisset get banged in the cove. Nick Nolte lookalikes from Tampa have made their way down the coast. Some of them expect to squat Hemingway's cottage at Key West. Multiple dormant subspecies awaken as the shadow dancers prey on Bombay nurse cakes and rattlesnake wine. New to the sea, the fortune hound, it builds sandcastles and chases Mexican dreams. It hunts at night and leaves no mark. Only the park ranger that takes out the trash sees it for what it is. He looks away as another boomer is pulled below the waves, and the elbow tally ticks higher. The sea is turning greasier because Danes are allowed to swim, Danish people. The Baltic is now an open sewer where turd searchers hunt for gravel berries and blood pudding. Russians and Ching Chongs and English and Danes and Germans and the fucking Dutch all vying for power. Swedes and Norwegian fucks. Finns, the goddamn Finns. The Baltic is the meeting place of all the world's underwear scavengers. Looking for grease marks. Something tragically fucked up is rising out of the sea. It's coming for you. It's coming for me. Dan, that's crazy. I know, honey. I know it's crazy. I know it triggers a sadness in your heart because you see the Trump Blump miracle. It's a miracle. The Orange King, the Golden Golem of Greatness. Isn't that what Kunstler calls him? But I don't think we know the fuck who or what he is. Any more than we know who the fuck Biden is or Kamala. I don't know any of these people. We have their public image. We get some journalist writing an article about them. But believe you me, between Microsoft Amalga, my experience in the military, some stuff from 8 years ago, and other shit, I can tell you, journalism ain't what you think it is. I mean, it really isn't. So you might think there's a journalist trying to discover the deep truth about Trump. No, they're going to scrape the shit off the walls like every other lazy fuck. They're going to scrape the shit off the walls and rehydrate it looking for an undigested grape. That's journalism in the United States in 2024. Journalists could have done their job about people I've known, about stuff I've been involved with. Journalists could have done their work, but they didn't. I don't have this as an abstraction. This is not a public image issue. I have personal experience with actual journalists who, in my opinion, fucked up. And instead of digging deeper, instead of scraping harder, fuck. Think about Y2K. Imagine if they dug deeper into Y2K. Because when you think about it, Y2K and 9/11, they're kind of connected. If you want to mind fuck the American people with a lot of bullshit, you better control the network. Oh my God, there's a Y2K virus and we gotta let the feds into every fucking I know network computer. I remember, I was in the army at the time. Yeah. Something ugly's coming, baby. Don't know what it is, don't know what it's gonna look like. And I believe it's big enough that if you're off by a couple years and when it comes, it doesn't fucking matter. That's called a rounding error. It's not a recession. It's not a depression. Whatever economic situation you think we're in right now, it's worse. And they're still obviously trying to pump you up. I mean, look at the Trump dream team. The only thing that would make it better is if, you know, has Ron Paul joined his dream team yet? Because if Ron Paul did, and I gotta tell you, I think I talked about that in August, if Ron Paul ended up on his dream team, then you better believe they're getting ready to shove the nastiest, sweatiest, most diseased cock down your fucking throat. Because whatever your thoughts are on Papa Blump, he was president in 2020. If you think the vaccine poisoned people, he pushed the vaccine. If you think the lockdowns damaged people and hurt people, well, guess what? He can make up any fucking excuse he wants to, but he was the president of lockdowns. And as far as Fauci goes, I don't know what to tell you. He could have fired Fauci. He could have gotten rid of him. Fauci did not have ultimate power. And if he did, then I guess we're voting for the wrong fucking person, right? And the comeback I always get, whether it's a Democrat, Republican, Obama, Trump, Blump, Biden, the comeback I always get from the fucking zealots is he couldn't do nothing. Why the fuck do you vote? If you're voting for somebody that periodically can't do nothing when it really matters, when it really fucking matters, whether it's the Vietnam War, whether it's the fucking bullshit COVID, whether it's the 9/11 crapola, if your comeback is, well, he couldn't do nothing when it really matters, then once again I ask, why the fuck do you vote? You're voting for a figurehead that can't do nothing when it matters. Or you're voting for a bully that can focus its attention on your neighbors. Pick your lane, fucker, but all these lanes look like they suck. Okay? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Diffuse or confuse. Either strategy works. You can diffuse it. You can confuse it. Either strategy will often work. Well, what does that mean, Dan? I don't know. I was dealing with something at work yesterday, and it's something I have to deal with a lot. It's almost like a little micro lab of human conflict. And the reasons that adults have for conflict are not that different from the reasons kids come up with, vice versa. It's all kind of irrational and all kind of messed up. But the new trend today, or the trend at least for this generation, because I asked, you know, younger people I know, and they kind of confirm it, relatives and whatnot, the new trend is the ambush. Okay? It's not like we're going to meet at noon behind the cafeteria. No, that's not how they do it now. They have vendettas, they have revenge, and then they ambush you, shock and awe. They are doing exactly what the United States government does. They're doing exactly what it does, whether it's Trump or Obama, you know, it doesn't fucking matter. The deal now is to ambush. So a kid's walking down the street and a couple kids are in the bush, they come up from behind, knock them on the back of the head. That's called a fight. That's considered fair. It's considered crazy to say, let's pick a point in time and fight. What that indicates is that the level of barbarity is getting worse. Okay, that's anecdotal, but that's what that indicates, you know? So I get into these situations where, quote unquote, as an adult, I have to figure out how to solve it, right? Because when people really want to hurt each other, it's difficult to convince them that they're wrong. They're not in a mental state where they're reasoning. Their reptilian brain, their archicortex, their ancient brain has taken over. And with kids, this is worse. So you have two options. You can diffuse, which requires logic and reason, and sometimes that works with conflict early on. For example, 10 fucking years ago, when I warned my friends, my neighbors, my countrymen, whatever you want to fucking say, on my stupid fucking YouTube channel podcast that eventually would be the first one to get banned. 10 fucking years ago, I said the bullshit we're stirring up in the Ukraine will lead to World War III. Nobody listened. Nobody gave a fuck. If rational people wanted to defuse the situation, you could have done it 10 fucking years ago. But there was no logic, no reason. And guess what? Obama, a Democrat, was president. And guess what? If a Republican had been president, it would have been just as fucking stupid. So you can defuse early on. But you reach a point where people are fucking crazy. And that's where we're at right now. So the only option you have is to confuse. And we don't have anybody right now who's going to be president who's interested in peace. If you understand the history of this country, you should understand this. We've been at war almost every fucking year against somebody. And we did what all great empires do. You know, quote Paul Harvey, we started out with the weak. We went after the indigenous people, and we still do. But we went after the weak first, and we rounded them up, and we killed them. We stole their shit. And then when our government got big enough and strong enough, it turned its laser beam eyes on everybody. So no, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. No one's going to seek peace. If you think that Trump is going to bring peace to the world in 2025, on that point, if only on that point, you're horribly wrong. Next topic. Dan, you're a bastard. Trump's our only hope. If Trump is our fucking Princess Leia only hope bullshit, Luke Skywalker crapola, if Trump is the fucking Gandalf, then yeah, we're fucked. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Don't blame the wound for bleeding or the tumor for killing. Don't blame the wound for that crimson sauce. Don't blame the tumor for that nice emboss. Don't blame the wound for bleeding. Don't blame the tumor for killing. Don't blame the wound for bleeding. So I had a wound that was kind of healing from 8 years ago that got ripped open a few weeks ago. And I had a sense something was coming, but I just wasn't sure what. You know, it's it's like the Twitter thing. I had reached the end of my ropes with wanting to pay Twitter to censor me. And I was really getting tired of the gaslighting. The universe of accounts that are allowed to read my shit on social media, how can I phrase this, is a finite universe and very controlled. And yeah, maybe out of 10 people, maybe one person was real. I think it's more like one out of 50. And so if I had a couple hundred followers, maybe four or five were real people. The rest were bots, the rest were fakes, the rest were the form of control, you know? The rest were the control. I mean, it's funny, in the movie The Matrix, you are exposed to a make-believe world where every human is plugged into virtual reality. But what if we're in a world where it's kind of worse than that? It's not virtual reality, but that very few of us are people, and that most of the people you're surrounded by are something else now. If you want to, you can reflect upon your Cartesian meditations about the demon that controls the world. I think it's in the first book. And I think, you know, Descartes postulated that what if there's this evil demon that arranges the world? Well, what if, to steal from Descartes a bit, but to go a bit further, what if for every person that's real in your life, there's 1,000 people that just aren't even real? They might be human. They might be flesh and blood just like you. But it's like the Truman Show. They're playing a role. Their job is essentially to be the herd that pushes you in the right direction. And I know that sounds crazy. On the other hand, when I was riding that Metro bus to microsuck every fucking day, seeing all the freaks staring gormlessly at their glowing rectangles, it doesn't sound so fucking crazy. I think I witnessed the robot apocalypse starting about 10 fucking years ago, and it's already happened. So in a sense, you are surrounded. If you are like me, if you have a flip phone or no phone, if you're a no-phoner, if you're a no-social media person or simply have just given up on that bullshit completely, if your web presence is limited, and mine is still too big, which you know, really, I mean it, which means if it all got shut down, I'm not sure that would be a tragedy. But if you're like me, in a way, you are surrounded by freaks, and their purpose, and they don't even know it, is to make you more like them. You know? That's why you'll get weird looks. I get weird looks all the time when I pull out my flip phone. That's why they're designing these phones now to be all bendy. Because they want to attract people like me back into that bullshit world, and I'm not coming. I don't feel an obligation. I didn't have my first mobile phone until I was 30 years old. I literally don't give a fuck. No, excuse me, I was 31. 31 years old. I got my first mobile phone. And, you know, I ended up getting a smart device in 2012, you know, because so many people had them. I thought, I need to get one too. I'll get an Android. So I went down that road too, bro. Don't blame the wound for bleeding. Or the tumor for killing. I know that was a weird, weird, weird conversation, but that topic is dead. It's dead. Here's an article. It comes from KCTV5. Headline, Anthem Insurance in Missouri. Anthem Insurance in Missouri to cap anesthesia coverage for certain time limits. This was written by Greg Daly, and it was published yesterday, 2 days ago, December the 4th, 2024. In a move drawing stark feedback from medical professionals, Anthem Insurance has decided to cap anesthesia coverage at a time limit. The health insurance giant announced that the move would take effect on February the 1st, 2025. We will utilize the CMS physician work time values to target the number of minutes reported for anesthesia services, Anthem stated in a November announcement. Claims submitted with a reported time above the established number of minutes will be denied. The American Society of Anesthesiologists decried the move and asked the company to reverse course. We question how Anthem could propose paying for only a portion of the anesthesia service needed by their customers. The policy does not contemplate that an anesthesia code may apply to vastly different surgical procedures with corresponding wide variation in surgical times. Oh, it's almost like you're saying medical coding is bullshit. I've known that for 20 fucking years. The policy also betrays a diminished dedication to patient agency and safety on the part of Anthem. In effect, if a patient has a surgery which lasts larger, In effect, if a patient has a surgery which lasts longer than the standards accepted by Anthem, Anthem has absolved themselves of responsibility to pay for the anesthesia that is needed for the rest of the encounter. Likewise, the policy does not contemplate individual patient needs which are embedded within anesthesia time, including treatment of surgical complications during the course of the procedure. Such complications are not incorporated into the allocated base units, but are accounted and paid for under long-standing payment regulations which incorporate time. The proposed Anthem policy reflects a significant disconnect between Anthem, its patients, and their needs. The exclusions for the change are patients under the age of 22 and maternity-related care. Old hobos, though. The ASA stated that it urges those concerned about Anthem's proposal to contact their state insurance commissioner or state legislator, whatever. Good luck with that. The policy will go into effect for Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield plans representing Connecticut, New York, and Missouri, according to ASA. That's as much as I'm going to read of this, because that's pretty much the whole article. It's just, you know, they have the little letter, the document, the PDF in there. If you want, the link is in the notes. If you want to read the letter, the statement from Anthem, you can. I'm reading this and I think to myself, well, I'm kind of glad I got surgery, my first and only surgery in 2023, because at this point in human history, I think it's going to get hard for a lot of people to get access to anything. And you can have any opinion you want to. Me personally, the very moment government got involved in healthcare started going downhill. And that was decades ago too. You know, it's that whole diffuse, confuse thing. It's like, at this point in the conflict, there's no diffusing it. Our system is so broken. Our neo-Stalinist hellhole is so broken. The only way to fix it is to let it collapse. And then to pick up the pieces we can reuse. That's the truth. Trump is going to promise to make America great again. I don't think anybody, to include the dead Native American chiefs, have any fucking idea what that means. But it's not going to happen. If you want reform, any reform at all, you have to think of the word reform and what it means. And a component of it is form. And another component of it is to reform. It's almost like you got putty and you tried to make something with your putty and it didn't work out. Well, adding more putty ain't going to fix it, shithead. What you have to do is just deform it. Let it deform. Let it collapse. And then try to reform it again. That's the truth. That's the only reform that will work. It's not going to be Trump. It's not going to be the GOP. It's not going to be Mega Man. It's not going to be Q. The only way that the healthcare system gets fixed is, at this point, is the same way it all gets fixed. And that is just to let it fold in upon itself. Next topic. So there's some talk about Biden preemptively pardoning Fauci and other people. But I like talking about Fauci because Fauci was there when Trump was there. And there were a lot of photo ops with them together. Let's just be clear on that. If you have to pardon Fauci, you have to pardon Trump. You really do. I'm sorry. But he had no power. I know. And you keep voting, shithead. And the next time he disappoints me, tell me about how he has no power. I'm just going to say, I told you so multiple times, like a lot of other people told you so. And it doesn't mean Kamala would be any better. So sorry to disappoint your reality. Whatever is going to be shoved down your throat is going to be shoved down your throat. And usually they want to dip that salty, diseased cock in a lot of chocolate sauce before they shove it down your fucking throat. That's what Trump is for. If you look at his cabinet, whatever's coming, it's ugly as fuck. Because they had to give you every little thing you can imagine in your fantasies in order to get ready for it. Yeah. If you need to preemptively pardon Fauci, you need to pardon Trump. Next topic. So I'm on LinkedIn looking for my next job. My current job ends in June, and so I got time, and I'm not really on LinkedIn. I have a crap account on LinkedIn. You know, I don't know how to put this. There was this question, this random question that the LinkedIn AI asked me, and the LinkedIn AI, the LinkedIn artificial intelligence, let's call him Link. Link asked me, "What do you want? What do you want for your next job, your next role, your next job?" And I said, you know, I put down unemployment. So I've been getting really weird stuff. There was this job posting about quantum healing hypnosis technique. It's a technique developed by Dolores Cannon where you focus your mind beams and you utilize your fingertip muscles, probably some classical music, probably some type of aroma, you know, system, you know, to burn sacred oils to give you that minty flavor as your hands shake over the body and you mutter the incomprehensible words that trigger the quantum healing hypnosis technique. Past lives, where you were Napoleon. Past lives, where you were literally Hitler. That's going to be my next job. I'm going to open a quantum healing hypnosis technique laboratory someplace where I live. And I'll have a lab coat on. And I'll have weird glasses. And maybe I'll have really nice music playing. And maybe you'll feel calm as my ugly, greasy old man hands shake and quiver over you. And I mutter the incomprehensible quantum healing hypnosis technique by Dolores Cannon. So I'll be paying several thousand dollars to get licensed as a quantum healing hostess, and we'll see how that turns out. Next topic, Dan. Next topic. Here's a quote from Mayor Adams. And I look forward to Elon Musk, who can take us to Mars. The Trump blump love fest. The healing of the wounds. I mean, it's funny, as old wounds for me open up. God damn, it's so stupid, it can't be this stupid. So yeah, Mayor Adams has more or less warmed up to the Trump revolution and has talked about how he's, you know, totally willing to deport migrants charged with crimes. And I'm wondering how that was ever even a fucking question. I do. I mean, I'm not a fan of the government and I hate cops, but why the fuck was it ever complicated to deport somebody who is A, illegally here, and B, has committed crimes? In fact, pick something easy, illegal, and committed a felony. Seems like that should be an instant ticket back to somewhere. But the truth is, where? You gonna put them on a plane to take them somewhere? Some country has to accept the plane. You gonna put them on a ship to somewhere? Some country has to accept the ship. Is El Salvador going to become the Western Hemisphere's death camp? I mean, everybody, all the really cool libertarians, Dan, and crypto anarchists love the El Salvador model because he's taken all the criminals and put them in some place. And maybe that's true. But generally speaking, throughout history, some place doesn't really get enough food or water. And generally speaking, a lot of people tend to die at some place. So if that's happening, I can imagine a scenario where someone says, well, okay, Papa Blump, we're going to round up all these people, but where are you going to send them? And he'll say, El Salvador. But if it's not El Salvador, where the fuck? That's the truth. A lot of folks who talk about the illegals problem, they tend to dance around the simple reality that even if you could round up the between 11 and 30 million illegal aliens in the United States, even if you could do that, and I don't think you can at this point, the system is too broken, but even if you could, where the fuck are you going to put them? It's kind of like the homeless thing. When you corner a nice, liberal, commie, house-flipping fuck from Seattle about what to do with the homeless in Seattle, you don't get a good answer. They love the idea of putting them someplace, but they don't really know where. Yeah. And if you think these conversations are new, see my earlier comments and comments in several fucking podcasts. There were people 200 fucking years ago in this country who were treated the same way. And good, fine East Coast people drinking their fucking coffee and reading their fucking newspaper would mutter to themselves, well, I just don't know what we do, but we can just put them someplace. Because we need that Cherokee land. We need that land in Cheyenne. We need the open prairie. But there are squatters there. We can just, you know, round them up, baby, you know. Put them someplace. Put them someplace special. It's not going to work. It's dumb. But what I find interesting from a Sovietological perspective is how many people who would have, you know, demonized Trump, said nothing but angry, mean things about Trump a few months ago, are now sort of jumping on this weird love fest. And yeah, like I said, it's kind of ominous. You think it's a good sign. I think it's ominous. We are not the same. You know, stalker. Oh boy. So if you've been keeping up with the news, It turns out, and I forget the guy's name, but it turns out that Trump has created a new type of job position, I think, the White House AI crypto czar. And goddamn, for a country that's this close to nuclear war with Russia, why the fuck do we still have to call things czars? Because really, the czars kind of sucked. If this is a democracy, and a democracy that's obsessed with tearing down old fucking statues and shit, why the fuck do we use that name? Isn't that funny? But David Sacks is going to be the White House AI crypto czar. And I mention this because, I'm about to read something, right? Unrelated news. Headline: Crypto mogul Alex Mashinsky pleads guilty after Celsius implosion. This was published by Reuters, ostensibly their AI or their whole team, on December the 3rd, 2024. Alex Mashinsky, the founder and former CEO of cryptocurrency lender Celsius Network, pleaded guilty Tuesday to two counts of fraud. Mashinsky, 59, was indicted on July the 13th, 2023, on seven counts of fraud, conspiracy, and market manipulation charges. Federal prosecutors in Manhattan said he misled customers of Celsius to persuade them to invest and artificially inflated the value of his company's proprietary crypto token. He pleaded not guilty later that day. U.S. District Judge John Coatle, man, I don't know where these names are coming from. Sounds like an alien planet. U.S. District Judge John K. in November, denied a motion by Mashinsky to dismiss two criminal counts ahead of his trial, which had been slated for January 28th. On Tuesday, during a hearing before Judge K, Mashinsky said he agreed to plead guilty to two out of the seven counts he was initially charged with: commodities fraud and a fraudulent scheme to manipulate the price of SEL, Celsius's in-house token. In court, Mashinsky admitted to giving Celsius customers false comfort by giving an interview in 2021 in which he said Celsius had received approval from regulators for its EARN program, which it had not. He said he also failed to disclose that he had been selling his holdings of SEL, the platform's in-house token. "I know what I did was wrong, and I want to try to do whatever I can to make it right," Mashinsky said. As part of his plea deal with prosecutors, Mashinsky agreed not to appeal any sentence of 30 years or less, the maximum he faces for the two counts. Judge K is set to sentence him on April the 8th, 2025. Well, that's convenient too. Federal prosecutors in Manhattan have said Mashinsky also personally reaped approximately $42 million in proceeds from selling his holdings in the SELT of the SEL token. I'm stopping right here. If you've been keeping up with the crypto world, and let's be specific, we're not talking about Bitcoin here, or Ether, or Dogecoin, or Litecoin. I couldn't give a fuck. We're talking about basically the third parties. The third parties that have been created to financialize and to package and to pull investment into the crypto world. And this was something I was told once again at that stupid-ass Seattle meetup in 2013 that would never happen, that you could never achieve financial capture with crypto. And that was a half-truth. That was half-true, It is kind of true. You can't really do that. But what you can do is claim to have crypto or even have some crypto and then, create derivatives around it. That's what these things are. Derivatives of crypto. They're not really crypto. And if you dig deeper into the crypto world itself, I don't think you find honest-to-goodness free enterprisers. I think you find mostly grifters. It's a very nasty world. But what I also think you should do is dig into this Mashinsky guy. He's not going to jail. The fact that he's going to be sentenced in April of 2025 already tells me he's not going to prison. He's not going to jail. He's going to go someplace. He's probably going to go home, if you know what I mean. And you do know what I mean. But even if he doesn't go home, people who have billions of dollars in the year 2024, because again, think about the rule of law. Think about the shit you spout, Mega Man. You call it lawfare, right? It's always been lawfare, but now you know. Well, Mega Man, it works every direction, you stupid fuck. Do you really think people like this go to jail? You think Epstein got killed or Epstein committed suicide, but you really can't clearly conceive that there's a third, fourth, and fifth option. I think a lot of these people fake their deaths, and I think a lot of the crypto folks have had those plans in the works for years. They will take the money they take, they will go to a third world country where they can pay the right person to put together the right death certificate, and they're gone. And you're never ever going to find them again. Your good cops, your bad cops, whatever stupid movie you watched yesterday, none of that's going to find these people. They're done. They got away with it. They're bigger than D.B. Cooper because you're never going to fucking know about it. And if you do know, you'll think they're dead. Mashinsky is either going to end up in the state of Israel or he's going to end up dead in the quote-unquote dead sense. But he's not going to pay for his crimes. He's not going to pay for any of it. I'm sorry, but he did his job. He served his purpose. If you think he did this in some random sense, like he's a random dude that randomly got into crypto and is randomly a bad person or bad actor, I think you're also confused. The whole thing's a fucking setup. Crypto itself is a broken Windows machine. If you've ever read the essay The Seen and the Unseen by Bastiat, you'd understand what I'm saying, buddy. Crypto's a broken Windows machine. It is a Keynesian fucking Ouroboros. It is a Moebius strip that strips itself of all value, and it will disappear into itself at some point. Sorry. Oh my God, Dan, why can't you tell me something good? Why do you have to say things that are awful? I don't know. So the last topic relates to kind of personal news in a way. I've been trying to get back into coding personally, get back into it professionally too, because who knows? Maybe stuff just keeps rolling along, right? And I might as well plan for that. So I'm trying to brainstorm some projects I want to work on. And one of them involves, you know, a large language learning model, you know, an AI model of language, to look at headlines, specifically to look at headlines for trends. And the kinds of trends I want to look for are not financial. This is a little bit different. I was talking to a friend of mine about this a few weeks ago, and it's a little bit different than what I was originally thinking. But what I am thinking is I want to collect up all these headlines and basically build an automated process for categorizing what you could call narrative trends or trends of control, you know. And I'll have more information on this later. I want to make some of the stuff I've been doing more systematic. And so I don't know when I'm going to start the project, but it might be a few weeks from now. And by the way, this is not like that weird dude. I always forget his name. But the weird dude that has his weird algorithm. He's been on Coast to Coast AM periodically for the last 20 plus years. This is not that. This is something different. Anywho, it is Friday, December the 6th, 2024. Tomorrow will be December the 7th, a date that lives in infamy. Huh? Yes, on December the 7th, 1941, Kirk Douglas took a nuclear aircraft carrier back to Pearl Harbor. He sent out his F-14 Tomcats and all of his other special aircraft to take on the Japanese fleet. He fired all kinds of space-age missiles. They got freaked out. Nice people got shot up by those terrible, terrible Japanese, but somehow Kirk Douglas saved the day. December the 7th, 1941. Yeah, it's Friday, December the 6th. It's just after 5 a.m. I hope you guys have a great Friday, a great weekend, if you don't hear from me again. I know I've kind of broken the promise of going 100% fiction. I'm not sure that I want to be focused on that as much as I want to do more fiction. So I would settle for 50%. And then the other 50% kind of seems like fiction too, doesn't it? Like, if I'm reading a news article, don't you have to a little bit hold your fucking nose? Because I have no idea what the truth is in any of this. Is Anthem Blue Cross really gonna stop your fucking anesthesia? Or is that a fucking trauma monkey? And if you don't know, the best advice in the year 2024, and this applies to 2025, is throw it away. A Sovietologist would tell you, if you come across two pieces of information that contradict each other, the simplest step is to take both pieces and throw them away. Okay? If together they make no sense, get rid of them. But the bottom line is, excess fear is not worth your fucking time. It isn't. If you get excess fear from this fucking podcast, you shouldn't listen to it. Do you fucking understand? Have a great Friday.